You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Beautiful Wednesday afternoon. They wouldn't accept my petition to move this show outside either. What's wrong here today? Welcome in the Gym Class. Spencer Wagon in for Mr. Basketball USA. That is Scott Unash. I'm assuming he's in Des Moines. If he's not there yet, he will be covering state high school girls basketball. So you're going to hear a lot of me in this hour over the next week or so. But that's perfectly okay. I love talking sports. That's what they pay me to do. So I'm happy to sit here on another for another hour and talk more sports with you. Joined by Mark Dukes here momentarily as we come to you with the Gym Class here from the KGYM studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. If you want to interact with the show, 319-366-1600. Talker text line is wide open for you here today. Lots to get to on the show today. We're going to be joined by the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up after 3:30 today. He is joining us, Mark, am I correct, from St. Louis?
Correct.
He's going to be on the TV call for Arch Madness, hence the schedule change. Usually Kevin joins you guys on Thursdays. But he is kind enough to move up a day. You guys had Mark Ironside on the air yesterday previewing Big Ten wrestling. So if you missed that, you can check out the podcast at kgymradio.com. But Kevin's going to talk to us about college hoops. We're going to spend some time on Arch Madness because he's there and get his expectations for that. But a lot of the show today, Mark Dukes, is going to be on this game last night. And I said, I opened up Spencer on Sports last hour with three simple words. I was wrong because I was very wrong, but I'm okay with being wrong as Iowa goes in, leads from start to finish. Really no doubts in that game. Maybe a couple moments where Indiana got it close, but all in all, whenever Indiana tried to make a push, Iowa responded, and it turns out 90-68. How are you? Good to work with you again.
Yes, exactly. I echo those comments. Good afternoon to you, Spencer, and Isaac, and everyone out there. And I'm going to join the club. I was wrong.
We were both wrong.
Didn't see it come. I think a lot of people were wrong. I know at least one or two texters yesterday predicted an Iowa victory. And whether that was wishful thinking, you don't know. But maybe they knew something that we didn't. Wouldn't be surprising from our listeners.
Yep.
But it was, I think, the most complete game Iowa's played all year.
Yeah, and that's our poll question. We'll pose this to the text line as well. You could vote at KGYMradio.com, courtesy of Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Was last night's game Iowa's most impressive win this season? Yes or no? What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. I think it's got to be up there. You know, we can go through the schedule here with you know, all the games that they've played and kind of put together our list. But overall, like you said, Mark, I think it's easily their most complete game. And a game that not a lot of people, you look at just the last two road games alone, 20-point loss to Northwestern, game that was close midway through the second half, but Wisconsin just pulled away, and another bad shooting performance up in Madison last week. You know, you could see why there wasn't a lot of confidence in this team going into a road game like that, but they got it done.
Yeah, that is exactly the reason that you would have been skeptical going into last night, because the last five road games, Iowa shot it dreadfully from three-point range and just didn't get any offense together, and Indiana coming off a big victory against Purdue. And, you know, in terms of impressive and the poll question, that Michigan State game was pretty impressive.
Right.
But I think you need to throw the word in complete on that, because it was a 90-point game. Iowa shot it well from everywhere, maybe not necessarily at the free throw line, but played really good defense, I thought. Trace Jackson Davis is a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. He's always going to get his, I think. But by and large, Hood Fino, probably the freshman of the year, maybe in the country. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But he wasn't really a factor.
No.
And neither was anybody else for Indiana. And now it puts Iowa in a position. I've tried to sort this out. I've gone through all the different scenarios and whatnot. And maybe somebody smarter than me can figure it out. But Iowa's got a genuine shot to get a double bye.
They do. And we'll get into that here coming up in just a moment. Lucky for both of us, the folks at HawkCentral.com, the Des Moines Register, Chad Lystico, Kennington Smith and crew, they put together the whole thing. I've got it right here. I could spend the entire 50 minutes we have left today reading through this this document, but basically the gist of it is, if you're Iowa, you have Nebraska coming to town, certainly you're expected to win because it's at home. Nebraska's been playing some good basketball here, although they gave up 54 points in the second half to Michigan State last night. But Iowa can get anywhere from the 2 seed to the 8 seed. Mm-hmm. Depending on what happens Sunday and a lot of other things. It's not just a simple, if you win, you're this. If you lose, you're this. There's other things that have to happen. But the win last night, in particular, you look at the standings, the only team that, Iowa doesn't necessarily have a tiebreaker with is Northwestern. But you look at all the teams surrounding them, Maryland, who's ahead of them. Iowa beat them head-to-head. Michigan, the only meeting you saw was another comeback victory in Iowa City for the Hawkeyes. Northwestern they split with, but they swept Indiana. They swept Illinois, one meeting with them this year. They went 1-1 versus Michigan State. They swept Rutgers. You have to get down to Wisconsin, who's 8-10, before you see a team that Iowa does not have a win against this year. So they're in pretty good standing going into Sunday's regular season finale, and you can't say anything else. That is a positive place to be.
It very much is. And there's 7 teams, as I count, that can get to 12 victories in the Big Ten. Not all will, but that group includes Iowa. And correct me if I'm wrong, Michigan State is going to play one fewer game.
Yes.
In the Big Ten because the Minnesota game was postponed and not rescheduled.
They are not going to make it up. They could not find a date, from what I understand. So that game is toast. So Michigan State is playing one last game. They close with Ohio State at home coming up on Saturday.
That's so the best they can do is 11-8.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they should be expected to win that, considering how Ohio State has played. Of course, the Buckeyes broke their 9-game losing streak last week with that game at home against Illinois, but still a lot of options on the table here for the Hawkeyes. But boy, what an impressive performance last night. You look at, and you mentioned the defensive effort, especially Jalen Hood-Schifino scored 35 in that win over Purdue. Trace Jackson Davis, he had double figure scoring, but he was more of a distributor and a rebounder in that game against Purdue. Hood-Schifino was their lead guy with 35 last night. 34 minutes on the floor, 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 of 14 from the floor, 0 for 2 from 3. In fact, Indiana, and I talked about this on Spencer on Sports, 2 of 11 from beyond the 3-point arc. Kind of a reverse script, right? You saw, you're used to seeing the opponent have kind of the numbers Iowa did. Iowa made 13 threes last night, 55% from the floor. That's what we've seen, kind of the opposite of in these road games. You've seen the Hawkeyes, struggle to shoot the ball, maybe have a decent half, but then, the bad first half, especially you look at that Purdue game, was what hurt them in the end.
Mm-hmm.
But last night it was kind of the reverse, and now, 11-8, a really good shot at 12-8 in the Big Ten. Does this win necessarily mean they're going to go on a deep tournament run in March? No, it depends on matchups and seeding, obviously. But I think we're all glad to be wrong. And I saw, Ian in Oxford on the text line saying we can all eat crow together. And I think mm-hmm. we're eating a ton of crow, all the doubters last night. And there were several people out there that said, that they had an inkling that Iowa was going to win, and then they did. So I guess those people can take a victory lap.
Yeah, many ways to point as terms of maybe the most valuable player in this game, but I don't think there's any doubt for me anyway It was Tony Perkins.
Yes.
He schooled, as the text line pointed out, he schooled Indiana's guards. 23 points, 8 assists, got to the basket, shot it well. He's almost money from the free throw line, although he did miss a couple last night. But I thought Chris Murray set the tone when he came out and made those first couple three-point goals. And then when Indiana got within four, maybe, then it was Peyton Sanford.
Yes.
Who hit a couple big shots.
Yeah.
And then it was Perkins who drove and dished to Ulis, and Ulis hit a big three. And Rabracha was really tough in the middle. So a lot of praise to go around.
Yeah, the Indiana, we mentioned Iowa led from start to finish. The Hoosiers got within three at the 10:58 mark of that first half. And then you mentioned Sanford, a three-point basket to get it back to six. And then it was the lead was as much as 17 in that first half, which was huge. Of course, Indiana got it down to 11 at the break, and you know you're thinking to yourself, okay, this is going to be, you know, I mean, I didn't think there were, you know, I wasn't sitting at home, oh, they're going to lose this game, you know, that's not what I was thinking at all. I thought, okay, this big, you know, this next, you know, chunk of time coming out of the break, probably the, you know, the first 4 minutes going into that first media timeout is going to be huge. And I know Fran McCaffrey gave a ton of credit to the players for responding, because that the start to that second half, that was rough. Three turnovers in what, like 40 seconds?
Right.
But it was a net positive in the end, because Indiana only got one basket out of those three turnovers, and that was huge to really kind of weather that storm of, you know, playing some sloppy basketball and Indiana trying to get that ball away, get some easy baskets. The fact that the lead went from 11 to 9 and then back up to 12 in that whole sequence was huge when you look at the tale of how the game played out.
It was. And again, I think Iowa's most complete game. And I was thinking today, now we've got a week yet to play in the Big Ten. Would you put Fran McCaffrey in the top five Coach of the Year candidates in the Big Ten?
I think it's got to be Chris Collins, number one.
I agree.
Let's look at the standings here. Does Painter get a nod?
I mean, it's like baseball. You're a big baseball fan.
Yeah.
I love baseball, but, you know, Joe Torre wins it year after year,
right,
but he's never Manager of the Year.
Right.
You know, the best team doesn't always get that accolade, but Kevin Willard has had a nice year at Maryland.
Yes. I don't think I'm looking at the top of the standings here, right? I could see Painter getting some love just because Purdue is Purdue and they're doing well, although they've slid back. They're still at the top of the league. Don't get my comments wrong, but they're still they haven't been as dominant in the second half. So I could see, you know, maybe why some people would turn away from that. You mentioned Kevin Willard at Maryland. 16-1 at home alone is it's crazy, but they're gunning for a top five seed, probably, I would think. I haven't seen the latest bracketology, but that's definitely a choice. I don't think Juwan Howard will get it. So I mean, it's so weird because Michigan is 11-7 in the Big Ten, right? Yet they might not make the NCAA tournament because they have no good out of conference wins. They lost to Central Michigan. You know, so a team that's currently tied for second in the Big Ten might not make the tournament.
It's kind of like the artificial expectations that are in the preseason. CBS Sports had Northwestern 12th.
Right.
So what Chris Collins has done at Northwestern, based on that alone,
right,
I think he's the guy.
It's like, I mean, Marquette is one of the teams I follow, being the Wisconsin guy here. And, I mean, they just won the Big East outright for the first time ever. First conference title in over a decade for Marquette, even a share. And Shaka Smart, I think, you know, he's got to be among the conversation of national coach of the year. Even Northwestern, you talk about them. They were picked 12th, coming off a season where they were, what, like 15-16 or something like that, and a lot of people questioning, okay, is this a make or break year for Chris Collins? Like, are we looking at the end of maybe his run in Northwestern? I think that's, you know, a little bit hasty to talk about, but for me, it's Collins Willard. I think you can include Fran in that discussion. I'm not sure. You lose Keegan Murray. You know, it's lottery pick. I mean, you know, I don't think people thought Iowa was going to go, you know, 1-16 in league play like Minnesota, you know, has, but they were picked, what, 8th, 9th?
Yeah, 7, 8, 9, yeah. Middle of the pack.
So, if they end up getting the 8th seed, that's right on par with, you know, maybe where they were supposed to be. But I think they've got a greater than 50% chance to get a double bye.
I would put Fred Hoiberg in the top 5, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nebraska was not expected to do anything.
And even at 8-11, that's pretty darn good. And they've been playing well here. They've had injuries. They had that stretch. Where did they start? They started 2-3 in conference, talking Nebraska specifically. They were 2-3 in conference after beating Minnesota in overtime. And then went 1-7. A 1-7 stretch with their only win over Ohio State. Now, granted, they played Illinois twice, Maryland, Northwestern, Purdue, so not the easiest schedule, but to go from 2-3 to 3-9 is pretty bad. Not a good stretch. But since then, you know, they've only lost twice, and it's the second half away from last night. They gave up 54 points in the second half.
Yeah, that wasn't good. No.
To Michigan State, but still, they've been playing some pretty good basketball. So, yeah, I could see Hoiberg if you're putting him in the top five. But, Izzo, Michigan State's, I think, been kind of disappointing, frankly. I think if Rutgers hadn't, they lost Mag to that ACL injury, so then they've taken a step back. If they had stayed consistent, you could put Pikel in there, but... You know, Penn State's disappointed. Greg Gard's certainly not because they're so inconsistent there. Definitely not Holtman at Ohio State. And, you know, Ben Johnson, I mean, Minnesota, he's not going to get it because they're 7-20. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I mean, you know. So I think there's a solid group, and I think Fran McCaffrey's in that discussion.
I think it's a handful.
I'd put Collins ahead of that, though.
I would, too. And on the text line, our friend Ralph in Riverside. All right, KGYM friends, you heard it here first. Congratulations to the Iowa Hawkeyes and Fran McCaffrey on the well-played and coached game. That was impressive. Parentheses. See, I can be nice to Fran.
Or even Ralph eating crow today, 319-366-1600. Let's talk about the poll question quickly. Last night, the poll question again for those listening, in case you missed it, was last night's game Iowa's most impressive win this season, yes or no? So here, I'm going to take out everything before November 25th because Bethune-Cookman, NC-A&T, well, I guess Seton Hall, you could count them in there, and Omaha, those wins were, you know, the bye games, you got to win those. Here are my candidates for impressive wins for Iowa, and your thoughts welcome, 319-366-1600. I'll throw the Clemson one in there. Early season, first really true test against a Power 5 team. You won that game. You didn't really shoot all that well in that game. They tried to get a bunch of guys in foul trouble. Clemson plays pretty good defense. Pull out the win. I'll toss the Iowa State win in there.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, you know, Iowa State's taken a big step back, but mm-hmm. Iowa State was among the top teams in the country. They were number 20 in the country there. Came in, just shot the lights out. Blew them out at home. I'll put that as an impressive win, quote unquote. The first Indiana game, down 21 in the first half. I'll go with the Rutgers road game because I don't know. The stat was no team in the Big Ten had led start to finish at Rutgers until Iowa did it on that Sunday. I think really, you know, I hate to just lump everything in, but you know, coming back against Michigan. At home, that was, you could deem that, I guess, impressive. The home win against Rutgers, the home win against Northwestern were both good wins. The Illinois win, I thought, at home was an impressive victory. And then, of course, you got to talk about the Michigan State game and last night's game. So a lot of their wins have been, you could make an argument for impressive, but boy, it's hard to look past the last two games. I mean, I guess maybe it's recency bias, but, you know, the last two games have been, you had the unspeakable, unthinkable comeback, and then last night going on the road, incredibly tough place to play, a team that, you know, seemed to want this one.
Mm-hmm.
You heard Mike Woodson, you know, where, you know, Fran McCaffrey should have been kicked out of the game, and I heard you and Scott talking about it yesterday. Indiana mm-hmm. fans thinking that Tony Perkins, intentionally injured Race Thompson and kind of holding silly grudges like that. All the outside factors coming in and the history of, you know, how Iowa had played on the road this year. I think you got to go with last night's game as the most impressive one, don't you?
Yeah, we tend to have short-term memories when we rank things.
Yeah.
You know, but... put in perspective, and you brought up a lot of games. I think every season you've got a group of impressive wins and some disappointing losses. Mm-hmm. But what Iowa did last night on the road, it's recent history of shooting it poorly. And Indiana apparently riding a high, although I thought they were really flat by and large last night.
Yeah.
To win by 21 on the road, anywhere on the road, especially at Indiana, although Iowa's had some success mm-hmm. recent years, I'd have to say last night. I mean, Clemson led the ACC for a good part of the year, but has fallen back.
Clemson is, I think, out of the field.
Maybe out of the field.
They lost to Virginia last night. Clemson's lost to like Boston College. They lost to Louisville, and losing to Louisville this year is like. I mean, come on. One of the worst Louisville teams in decades, and Clemson lost to them by double digits earlier this year. So thinking back on that, I'd take it off the equation. I'd go the last two games. I mean, they're so fresh in our minds maybe, but you got to consider last night. You got to consider Saturday. I'd throw the Illinois game in there too, considering how back and forth it was, able to – pull it out, Peyton Sanford with that big three.
What do you make of him blowing the kiss?
I didn't know you could get teed for that.
Well,
I mean, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah,
the stare down and the blown kiss.
When it's your team, you think it's funny.
Right, true.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But showing up to, I think there's been things done far worse.
Yeah. Oh, easily.
Slashing the throat and.
Yeah,
and gestures like that, but
what would you rather have?
He's an excitable guy.
He is. He was feeling it. That's for sure. What would you rather have? The coach stare down, or player blowing the kiss after the three?
Yes,
both.
Yes.
319-366-1600 2723 on the text line. Chiming in, but the Iowa State game. I think I said that before. I think. You know, maybe that might be the most impressive of the season. I'm just considering how badly Iowa got beat in Ames the year before, and Iowa shooting 50% from the floor, 52% from three in that one. So maybe you put that one up there. There were a lot of, you know, and like you said, Mark, there are impressive wins. There's disappointing losses. That seems to be the tail of the tape for every season. But boy, last night certainly was a good win. No question.
80-77 on the text line. I think Perkins is still backdoor cutting Indiana right now.
There were some impressive moments last night where he was right there,
and
they found him for the easy basket, and that was huge last night.
Additionally, Rabracha really holding his own on the Big Ten. Great performance all around.
319-366-1600. We got the coach, Kevin Lehman, coming up here in just a moment. Forgot the gym class, as always. Thank you, Isaac. The gym class brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Want to make sure our friends at DuPaco are happy. I'm still, you know, I pop in here, so excited to talk basketball, and I forgot the sponsor read. You know? So, shame on me. But thank you, DuPaco. Thank you, Isaac, for reminding me. Keep the sponsor happy. Show brought to you by DuPaco Community Credit Union here on this Wednesday afternoon. Like I said, Coach Kevin Lehman coming up. We'll ask him about the Iowa game from last night. Talk to him about Arch Madness coming up here in just a little bit. as well. He'll join us on the other side of the break. Before we get to him, you've got you got an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update for us.
I do indeed. Play continues at the girls' state basketball tournament in Des Moines. Highlight of the day, Audie Crooks, the Iowa State recruit, scored 42 points in a quarterfinal win for Algona Garrigan.
Wow.
She is now the all-time leading scorer in state tournament history, with possibly two games more. North Lynn in action tonight at 6:45 against Winfield Mount Union. A pair of 22-1 teams. Scott Unash on the call for CRM Live Sports tonight. And then tomorrow, three WOMAC teams involved in semifinal action. Benton Schulzberg takes on Benton Community and Solon in the other semifinal. The Arnold Palmer Bay Hill Classic begins tomorrow. Zach Johnson off early, 6:55 a.m. Central Time. He'll play with Harris English and Tom Hoagie. And a piece of news that caught me by surprise, I know you've touched on, Austin Blythe, the former Iowa lineman, retiring after 7 years. Former seventh-round draft pick out of the Iowa, played in the Super Bowl with the Rams against the Patriots. But kind of surprised, 7 years.
Yeah, Williamsburg native.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. So, that kind of surprising. You never know. Sometimes you just decide you didn't call it a career. But, he didn't get a ring, though, because he played in the game against New England.
Correct.
The Rams won it not this past season, but the season before. So, was not able to secure a trophy or a ring. But, good career. Seventh round pick to... He was a starting center. That's pretty good. Yeah,
absolutely. Indianapolis, Chiefs, who am I missing?
Seattle,
yeah.
That's
where
he just was.
Right.
So, very good. Well, congrats to Austin on a good career. All right, that's your Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here this afternoon, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway in Cedar Rapids. We'll take a quick timeout. The coach, Kevin Lehman, with the Off the Glass segment a day early. He'll stop by coming up in just a few moments. Gym Class with you here on March 1st. Happy March, everybody. It's KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the gym.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kobelman with your Weather First forecast, and we are going to have plenty of sunshine today and temperatures around 50 degrees as we head into tonight. A cold front will pass through, bringing in just some clouds and some cooler temperatures. We'll drop down into the upper 20s tonight, and then tomorrow we'll stay with the clouds and temperatures near 40 degrees. As we head into Friday, a winter storm will pass down to our south, and that could lead to a few light snow showers or flurries. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Add a pop of color to your home's interior with Pittsburgh Grand Distinction Interior Paint. It's a premium paint and primer in one that provides maximum coverage for long-lasting color and withstands repeated cleaning, scrubbings, and burnishing. Transform your home today with a gallon of flat interior paint for $35.48 after 11% rebate. Good to March 5th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
With any dream, the wind won't always be at your back. The sun won't always be shining, and some rain is going to fall. American Family Insurance is like a good solid roof that you can trust to protect your biggest dreams. With plans that could save you up to 23% when you bundle your home and auto. Also, you can continue to dream fearlessly, no matter what comes your way. American Family Insurance.
Visit mfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
I'm Mary Neubauer with the Iowa Lottery. March is National Problem Gambling Awareness Month, when we highlight and remind Iowans that help is always available 24/7 here in our state.
And I'm Katie B. with the Iowa Department of Health and Human Services. Visit yourlifeiowa.org to learn more about problem gambling. Start the conversation today by text, live chat, or by calling 1-800-BETS-OFF.
It's free and confidential.
And it's something you can do anytime.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back here on the Gym Class at 3:33, Spencer Wagon in for Scott Unash today. Mark Dukes and Isaac along for the ride as well. 319-366-1600, talking college hoops pretty much the entire show. We do a bowling night in America. I'd be remiss if I did not remind the folks, bowling night in America coming up later on in the show as well. Penn State was the winner of that first Big Ten women's tournament game, a three-point victor over Minnesota, so Penn State moves on. Rutgers and Northwestern, the 11-14 matchup in the Big Ten women's basketball bracket. About to get underway here in the next few minutes. We'll try to keep you up to date on that. But continuing our focus on the men's side of things, Arch Madness starting up tomorrow. Boy, it's one of the best times of the year, is it not? Not just with Arch Madness, but across the college basketball landscape. And joining us live on location from St. Louis is the coach, Kevin Lehman, with our Off the Glass segment here on KGYM. Kevin, good to talk with you again. Spencer and Mark here on the Gym Class. And are things starting to heat up down there? I know the games haven't started, but what's the atmosphere like in St. Louis ahead of Arch Madness?
Well, Spencer, Mark, I tell you, it's a monumental year for the Valley because 12-team league for the first time ever in a – this league's been – it's 116 years old. The only league older in the nation is the Big Ten. But we're looking for the excitement of what Murray State's going to bring, fan base, Bradley's going to bring a bunch. Trying to get back to those days when Creighton would take over the entire downtown, Wichita State used to bring him in. So that's kind of the buildup of what's going to happen tomorrow with the fan bases that are going to be in here. Indiana State has sold out their allotment. So looking for a huge turnout in St. Louis for Arch Madness.
Before we get into the tournament, let's go back to last Sunday, a game you were on, and that was Drake and Bradley for all the marbles in the Missouri Valley. What was your takeaway from that game as we might anticipate them meeting again in St. Louis?
I'll tell you, Mark, the length of Bradley on defense was a real issue for the Bulldogs. Malve Leons is going to be, in my opinion, the best defender in the Valley. I mean, this guy has got a 7-foot wingspan. He was able to guard Tucker DeVries, and DeVries really struggled to get open looks. He didn't have to double. And Connor Hickman, as I said on the broadcast, he's a sophomore that needed to play like a senior, and he did. He got red hot. And you always, you know, in games like that, Mark, you've been around sports forever. Your stars are going to shine, but you need somebody else to step up, and Hickman certainly did that for Bradley in that game. And just too much to overcome for the Bulldogs. And I tell you, Carver Arena was smoking. 11,000 people. It's that old place with the hockey ice underneath. There's a little blood behind us from the hockey fight. You can smell the beer and the old hot dogs. It's just one of those old venues that you just love to smell the sights and the sounds of.
Kevin, if I'm not mistaken, Bradley hadn't won a conference title in, what, 20, 25 years? And that was their first in that time span. Brian Wardle has done a pretty good job down there in Peoria.
You got to go back 27 years, Spencer.
Yeah.
And that is a basketball-centric city and university. And they've had some great traditions, some great players come through there. So it surprised me that it had been that long since they'd won a regular season title. They went in 2019, qualified in 2020, and COVID canceled it. They've had some success under Brian Wardle in the tournament, but not in the regular season.
It all gets underway tomorrow, and Northern Iowa will be in action against Illinois State. UNI has taken two games from Illinois State this season. You know what they say about beating a team three times, Kevin?
Yeah, they say that, but I don't know how often that thing really happens. This is a young Northern Iowa team, as we know, and you know, I had a talk with Coach Jake about this team and the approach. And since usually we see in these types of atmospheres and tournaments, one and done, that it's seniors that win for you, old, and this is a young team. And you know, Ben just today told my guys, you know, be yourself, play your strengths, and be yourself. So they're kind of going in loose. He's found that out from, you know, 17 years at UNI, Sweet 16s. He's beat number one teams, and that's the approach that they have taken. That, you know, don't be so uptight and just kind of back off and have a good time. So we'll see if they can get that third win over the Redbirds at Illinois State.
Drake, the number two seed after that loss to Bradley over the weekend. Kevin, what do you think about the Bulldogs' path to a potential tournament championship here in St. Louis?
Well, Spencer, I'm going right now with Josh Betts, and we were looking at this, and like, Drake may have an easier path with that two seed than Bradley does, because Bradley could face the winner of in the semis of a Belmont Indiana State game, and you know Belmont has beaten Bradley twice. Drake's got the Murray State Valpo, and Valpo has given the Bulldogs problems. But this is a Drake team, as you know, that's very old. Hinn, Sturts, Wilkins, they've been around playing with each other for 4 and 5 years. So that experience is going to really pay off for Drake. I would not be surprised to see them in this championship game against Bradley coming out of the top bracket or Belmont.
If it's not Drake and it's not Bradley, who might it be?
You guys still there? I lost you for a second.
Yeah, Kevin, my question was, if it's not Drake or Bradley winning this thing, who might it be?
I think I would lean toward Belmont. Indiana State's got to play on Thursday. And, of course, Coach Schert said he'd rather play Thursday and sit and practice, but he's playing Evansville. Maybe that's why he said that. Evansville with only one league win. But I think we've never seen it done in the Valley. We've never seen a team win 4 games. Valpo got the championship a couple years ago and lost to Loyola, but it's never been done in the history of this tournament. So I just can't see anybody that's playing on Thursday getting a championship game. So I think Belmont might be your dark horse coming out of there. That's not a 1 or 2 seed.
Talking with the coach, Kevin Lehman, here on the Gym Class for Wednesday, March 1st. Question from Ralph in Riverside on the text line. Asking about the chances Drake has, aside from winning the tournament, of making the big dance. And sadly, for the Bulldogs, it's pretty much slim to none. Fair to say, Kevin?
I'd say more toward the none, unfortunately. Net of 70. Their quad 1, quad 2 wins are 3 and 4. They just don't have the opportunities. And I think I maybe talked to you about this last week. The Valley played 8. Major conference opponents this year. I think they averaged 12.5 the previous 4 years. And you go back before the net, they were averaging 25. So they're just not opportunities for mid-majors anymore to get those quad 1 and quad 2 wins, such as you're seeing the Big 10 teams rack up and the Big 12 teams rack up. So it's getting more and more difficult for these mid-majors to get a shot at the big dance. So, yeah, Drake's got to win it all Sunday. They're also going to be playing the NIT.
Kevin, it turns out that Iowa can shoot the three both at home and on the road. Let's first talk about that Michigan State described as an all-time game when Iowa came back from 11 down with less than a minute left.
I don't know what to say about it. I'm still in shock, Mark. I mean, kudos to Peyton Sanford, who told his team with a minute 30 left, we're not out of this thing yet. And I think that really carried over to Indiana, that comeback that they had. And I think that's why you never leave a game at Carver-Hawkeye Arena early. Caitlin Clark or the men's team, stick around because something exciting is going to happen at the end. And I think I threw that stat at you. Those two wins, Michigan State and at Indiana, they hit 30 threes, the Hawkeyes, and those two previous losses, Northwestern and Wisconsin, they hit a total of 6 threes. So this is a team that's and you asked me, Mark, about getting out of shooting slumps. I think it's a little bit like that movie Tin Cup. when Romeo told the character, was it Roy McAvoy? Kevin Costner's character?
Yes.
Take your change in your right hand and put it in your left pocket. You could change how you rock by your left pocket, turn your hat backwards. Maybe sometimes that's all it takes to get out of a shooting slump.
Or just give me another ball.
Yeah, get the right brand of basketball. Who knows? I mean, that's why it's such a fun game to watch. And that three-point line has done so much for the game of basketball.
I'll ask you our poll question, Kevin. Was last night's game, in your perspective, Iowa's most impressive win this season? What say you?
Well, I'm trying to think back. The other wins they've had, I think it's got to be because of the way Indiana was playing and the importance of that game for Iowa as far as the double bye in the Big Ten tournament. and what's going to do for them on the seed line in the NCAA tournament. Yeah, huge, huge win for the Hawkeyes because the time of the season that had happened and what was at stake for the Hawkeyes.
Kevin, we were talking earlier about maybe Fran vaults into the top five in coach of the year candidates in the Big Ten, but I think Spencer and I both agree that Chris Collins is the guy, isn't he?
Boy, Mark, I think I got to agree with you on that one, yeah. Collins done a fantastic job with the Northwestern team. That, you know, they're kind of the darlings of the Big Ten. And for people, can they make the NCAA tournament for that second time? And it's a team that we didn't give much credit to early in the season, and he's done a fantastic job with them. And he's had guys transfer out playing for, Miller Kopp playing for Indiana, some other guys that have left, Nance playing for North Carolina. Those guards have stayed, Boo Booey and Audige, and they've really changed what they do at the defensive end. It's great success for Northwestern. Yeah, I agree with you. Chris Collins got to be the guy.
I guess switching from the positive to the negative, Iowa State, when you look at things from the Big 12, Kevin, just a free fall here. Now, what, four straight losses, six of the last seven have not gone their way. Looking at a pretty sizable losing streak, have to go to Baylor on Saturday and certainly not playing their best basketball here as March starts up. Is it as simple for the Cyclones as get out of Big 12 play and maybe facing somebody outside your conference is going to turn things around? Or what have you made of this stretch here for Iowa State?
Well, here's the problem. You go into the Big 12 tournament and you're not playing well, the light switch is not going to turn on. As a coach, you want to be playing really well and have momentum going in there. That's my concern with the Cyclone team. And since I wonder about this, maybe they overachieved in the first half of the season, so our expectations went higher than this team was capable of. Because this is, they live off their defense, ability to create turnovers. They're offensively challenged at times. We mentioned they don't have a bucket getter like they had last year with Brockington. And I always, when they play West Virginia plays the same way, but they're better at it. That's just a bad matchup for the Cyclones because they're going to play physical and they're going to foul less. West Virginia gets the free throw line, those two wins. That's just a bad matchup. And Oklahoma State's a little bit in that same category, I think, is a similar style. And it just has worked against Iowa State. But they got to get something quick in here. Baylor's a tough out, obviously. They got to roll into Kansas City with some sort of momentum.
Kevin, in your mind, who's the best team in the land right now? Is Kansas gaining on the rest of the field?
Mark, if I'm going to pick a Final Four or a team to win it, I think you got to go with Kansas. And a lot of people talking about Bill Self, Coach of the Year, because of what he lost off last year's championship. And he's back in there again. He's going to win. He's already got a share of the Big 12 title. Goes to Texas to see who's going to get the outright. It's in the best league in America. It's been an amazing run, and I think he probably makes Bill Self in-game adjustments as good as anybody in the country. So that's the team I'm looking at right now. You know, I like Houston, what I'm seeing out of them. Purdue shows some flaws. Alabama's got a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. So it'll be interesting to see who's going to emerge here once we start. You know, we're in March, guys, so it's March Madness is upon us.
I think there's a sizable group of people who don't want to see Alabama win another game, Kevin.
Yeah, that has turned into a real mess at Alabama.
And Nate Oates hasn't helped things.
No, he got up over his skis a couple times early on that. Unfortunately, and you got – this is a tough situation because someone lost their life. We talked about that last week. There's a life lost in this mess, and it just has many repercussions on the player who brought the weapon to that incident.
All right, hey Kevin, thanks so much for adjusting your schedule with us here, and enjoy the madness that is Arch Madness. And we will talk to you again down the road. Happy March.
All right, Spence. I'm not sure who had to call Mark Ironside to switch, but I wouldn't want to be that guy.
Thanks, Kevin. The coach, Kevin Lehman, joining us here on KGYM for his Off the Glass segment here today. And, boy, some interesting stuff from Kevin, as always. He's got a great assignment. I mean, he gets to travel around and call great games like Drake and Bradley and sit and enjoy Arch Madness. And
starts with the Virgin Islands. And
before the first of November. Kevin's living the dream, that is for sure. 3:49, we'll take a quick timeout. We've got the Bowling Night in America preview and a little bit more from the sports world on the other side. The Gym Class here on KGYM, brought to you by DePaco Community Credit Union.
Looking for a reason to get away? We've got one. Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton's $99 wild deal. A one-night stay in our recently renovated hotel and up to $50 in free play and dining credit. Book your stay anytime through April 15th. A one-night stay and up to $50 in free play and dining credit. Call 243-9000. Area code 563 to book your stay. 563-243-9000. Hurry, this offer is only available through Thursday. And only at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Clinton. You'd rather be here.
Offer based on double occupancy. Must be 21 or older. Exclusions and blackout dates may apply.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And we'll get to that Bowling Night in America preview coming up here in just a few moments. Looking at bracketology, as we're back here in the Gym Class, by the way, KGYM. Spencer in for Scott, Mark along for the ride as well. Latest bracketology, I think we're getting to that point. We're going to start to see Joe Lunardi do his daily updates. I think that starts next week.
Pretty close.
I don't know. He's been doing it Tuesdays and like Fridays lately. So we had an update yesterday, and we might not see an update till either tomorrow or Friday. But some of the other folks we look at are doing their updates, including Jerry Palm at CBS. Still has Iowa as an 8 seed, taking on number 9 Arkansas. So Razorback Dale, if you're listening, that's a matchup that I think you would particularly be interested in. The number 1 seed above them is Houston in Jerry Palm's bracket. He has Iowa State also as an 8 seed, playing number 9 seed Pittsburgh. The number 1 seed above them is the Purdue Boilermakers. So the 2 8 seeds. Does the win last night put Iowa a little bit higher?
I think it should. But yeah. Jerry Palm spent a couple paragraphs on Iowa in his bracketology and said it's just one game.
True.
It is just one game.
It is,
but
yep,
that was a pretty impressive game. Nonetheless,
two 8 seeds moving in different directions. Mm-hmm. I think Iowa could move up. They've got to beat Nebraska. I think if you get to be a top, you get the double bye. I mean that's big. You got to play well, and it's in Chicago this year.
Correct.
for the Big Ten tournament. But I don't want to have an early exit. But I think you beat Nebraska, you get a double bye, you get maybe one win. I think they're solidly in the tournament. That's not the question we're talking about. But I think Iowa could move up a little bit and probably should if they continue playing well. His last four in, Jerry Palm's last four in, he's got Michigan now.
I think they
should
be in
the field. Yeah. I could. They play Indiana, I think, next, too. So that's going to be big for both teams here for them. But Michigan, West Virginia. He has them as last four in, which I thought West Virginia. I know Joe Lunardi has them solidly in the tournament after beating Iowa State earlier this week. He also has Wisconsin and Mississippi State as his final four. First four out, Oklahoma State, Penn State, North Carolina, and Arizona State. That's according to Jerry Palm from CBS Sports. So that's latest there. We'll see when Joe Lunardi puts his latest predictions out.
Michigan's going to have to earn it. They're one of those teams at 11 and 7,
mm-hmm,
but they are at Illinois and at Indiana to close the season.
Mm. Yeah.
No bargain.
No, it is not. That is for sure. And you look at some of their losses in the non-conference, lost to Arizona State, lost to Virginia, lost to Kentucky, lost to North Carolina, lost to Central Michigan at home. Not a good look there. And they split with Wisconsin, too. And if you're kind of competing on that bubble, you want to have the 2-0 mark as opposed to a 1-1. against a fellow bubble team, that is for sure. 3:54, let's, before we get out of here, the Bowling Night in America preview. Now, there was no bowling last week, right?
Correct.
Because of the ice. And now Scott is gone this week, so is there some sort of, like, contingency protocol? I'm sure they're used to it, right? The guys are used to it this time of year?
Oh, yeah. I let Scott handle that. He's got things in good shape. And tonight will be a fifth-place team in JB's Pizza against sixth-place Rusty Nails. Pretty close. But Lane's 29 and 30, and this JB's Pizza team has everybody on the roster with an average over 200, led by Mike Robinson, who leads the league with 242, and Darren Bloomquist at 236. The good thing is we're going to get some pins tonight. Handicap. We'll report back tomorrow.
All right, very good. Bay City Bowl, sponsor of Bowling Night in America, and we'll have the recap for you tomorrow here on the show as we get into another Thursday edition of the program. College basketball tonight. A couple interesting Big Ten games tonight. You got Ohio State and Maryland. The Terps are one of those teams we talked about, and I know I've talked about on Spencer on Sports, but the just crazy road and home splits this year. Maryland is 16-1 at home, just 2-7 on the road. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they're going to go in and lose to Ohio State, because Ohio State's been, well, just frankly, not very good down the stretch here. They did beat Illinois last weekend, but yeah, interesting game there. See if the Terps can pick up just their third road win of the season, and then Northwestern and Penn State tonight as well. Tomorrow, Illinois and Michigan, that game you mentioned, Mark, Minnesota and Rutgers, Purdue at Wisconsin. Purdue's losses lately, except for that Indiana game last week, have been road games. So do the Badgers come up to the level of competition and maybe upset the Boilers tomorrow? That is one to watch, and one we will certainly talk about on the program tomorrow.
No question, and I believe we have Iowa State women's basketball tonight.
We do. Yeah. Cyclones taking on Kansas tonight, 6:30. The pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off. It's an ESPN Plus game, so if you don't get ESPN Plus, we'll have the coverage courtesy of Learfield and the Cyclone Sports Network here on KGYM. I believe David Eicholt joining us tomorrow as well, talking some Hawkeyes. We'll chat with him, get his thoughts on a lot of the same topics we touched on today. So we'll chat with him. We'll talk with you again tomorrow, Mark. Be back with you again.
Sounds great. Talk to you tomorrow, Spencer.
Thanks to Isaac as well, and thanks to DuPaco for sponsoring the gym class here on KGYM. Todd Brommelkamp Show on the way. He's got WagerWise at 5:30. That's coming up here on KGYM. Have a great rest of your day.